You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I'm with us this morning, as we usually have on Friday morning, as a good friend Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And Joel is going to bring us up to date on what's really going on in the world today and the information you're not going to get through regular channels. You must understand that the major media outlets in America are primarily controlled by one of five mega corporations. This is covered in an excellent book by Dr. Ben Bagdakian called The New Media Monopoly. And basically what this is, we have AOL, Time Warner, we have Bertelsmann, we have Disney, we have General Electric, which controls NBC, and we have Rupert Murdoch, and those five mega corporations control the majority of what you're going to read, hear, see, and ultimately what, tragically, most Americans believe. That's why we never really talk about anything of any substance on so many radio and television programs, and why we have these phony arguments back and forth between people, but they never bring out the true subjects, the major issues, and that's why it's important you hear, usually every Friday, Joel Skousen, right here on the American Freedom Network. Joel, so good to have you with us again.
Thank you. I got cut off at the beginning, but I'm back.
Oh, well, don't feel bad. They cut me off, too, but we're both here, and that's the important thing.
That's right. Well, we're going to talk about some issues on the upcoming World Affairs Brief coming out today. The top issue is the government, apparently, there's additional confirmation that the government has a list codenamed Maine Corps, as part of their continuance and governance program, that is in fact a list of perceived future enemies of the United States destined for elimination, concentration camps, or otherwise incarcerated. This came out from Harper's Magazine's investigative reporter Christopher Ketchum. He was able to find and interview some half a dozen former government officials who have direct knowledge of the continuity and government program. It's apparently much more than a contingency plan to provide safe havens for high government officials during a national crisis, as it has been billed to Congress and to a very minor extent what public news has come out from it. But Ketchum was left with a distinct impression that it was also about using a national emergency to justify rounding up potential dissidents to increase government power.
During the Second World War, they rounded up the Japanese. They weren't, most of them were American citizens, loyal American citizens. They put them in concentration camps, and there was no outcry from the American people. Oh, we got to rally behind the government. And tragically, tyrants use this approach over and over again. They're the enemy. They're against us. And, of course, what they're basically saying is these are people who might oppose what we're doing is we bring about a dictatorship. That's a frightening thing to contemplate.
Well, it certainly is true that depending on the size of the crisis, government can get away with a great many things under the perceived crisis. And if it were war, for example, as in Pearl Harbor, it was very easy to pass this upon an unthinking, over-patriotic, reactive American people. And, of course, I shouldn't say that they didn't know. There were several people who knew that this was a provoked attack and that the government had, in fact, failed to warn Pearl Harbor in order to make sure this attack had its maximum impact. And there was a lot of criticism of the Roosevelt administration, I'm finding, in those days, just as there are thousands of people who are convinced that 9/11 was a job pulled off by our own government, and there's substantial evidence to back that up. And so it's interesting. When I look back in the history of these types of evil acts of government, you'll find that government or People were very, very savvy. A few leaders were very, very savvy about the dangers of the League of Nations, the dangers of the United Nations, and all of their prophecies have come true, about all of their warnings have come true. And so it is that here we stand warning Americans about a database on Americans who, for often the slightest and most trivial reasons, get on this list and are considered unfriendly and who, in a time of panic, may be incarcerated. And I feel that in light of the concentration camps that the administration is building through Kellogg Brown and Root, subsidiary of Halliburton, this is something that's going to happen again. Now, the government is disingenuously claiming that these camps are for a potential roundup of illegal aliens. That is tending to put the public to sleep. But this administration has never, to my experience, ever used any type of or had any intention to rounding up our illegal aliens. They, in fact, have told us numerous times it can't be done. And it can be done, in fact. They can all be deported. And in fact, all you would have to do is start the process and start prosecuting employers and start the manhunts, and they would start fleeing back across the border rather than be incarcerated. So this is of great concern. Scott Horton, Ketchum's colleague at Harper's, comments that he and other sources, that is Ketchum and other sources, tell him that the database is sometimes referred to by the codename Maine Corps, as in C-O-R-E, Maine Corps. Other people have called it the Red List. One knowledgeable source claims that up to 8 million Americans are now listed on Maine Corps as potential suspects. I believe there are also sublists within this database that focus on patriots who hold, quote, extreme beliefs about the virtues of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. In the event of a national emergency, these people could be subject to anything from heightened surveillance to tracking, and tracking to direct questioning and even possible detention. But one thing is for sure, with the loss of habeas corpus through the Jose Padilla rulings, they can hold people indefinitely as long as they don't charge them with a crime, calling them enemy combatants. Christopher Ketchum, you know, started his narrative going back and reminding the public about the Deputy Attorney General James Comey's dramatic disclosures about the 19-time visit of Alberto Gonzalez and Andrew Card going to see a hospitalized Attorney General John Ashcroft. And they whipped out papers and pressed Ashcroft to sign them. When he read them, or at least read enough of them, he sent them away angrily. And this was not only about surveillance, but this was about these detention programs and databases on America.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier
I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
Well, I stand back here with Joel Skousen, and Joel is talking about the fact that there is a red list. There is, they've actually been filling out and creating dossiers on American citizens. They've done this for a long time. 20 years ago, I got my FBI file. They had records of every talk I'd ever given publicly, clippings from the newspapers, dozens of pages of my own FBI file, all blocked out in the name of national security, because, of course, we wouldn't want Osama bin Laden, well, because we didn't have Osama bin Laden 20 years ago. But fascinating to see the information they're collecting on American citizens. You can get your FBI file, or you write to them under the Freedom of Information Act and ask for your FBI file. And if you've ever done anything in America, written letters to the FBI or to the president or the politicians, they have records. They're collecting dossiers on American citizens. They have a system of informants in this country. I was even at one time recruited to become an informant, just simply to go to cocktail parties and keep records of what various people were saying. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary. There is a dark force in our society that has been planning for a long time for what lies ahead. And you better understand, and you better get involved now while there's still time. Go ahead, Joel.
Well, unfortunately, you know, it's very difficult for the public to protest these things because the government denies their existence. Even if Congress tries to find out, they are stonewalled and denied the access to this kind of information. This is secret government going on. And it's a real problem in terms of fighting what the government will never admit. One of the original cases that came out about secret law was one filed by the Electronic Freedom Foundation on behalf of one of their clients who was subjected to a search at the airport, and they decided to challenge the legality of that search because there was no warrant, and it does violate the U.S. Constitution. And in any case, they went before the court, and the court in San Francisco, the government basically said, we request that this case be dismissed because the law is secret. The judge agreed with them. How are you supposed to obey a law that's secret? And, you know, it's one thing to talk about the old adage of ignorance is no defense against the law, but that presumes that the law has been published. According to the government, the laws must be published so that the public is not responsible until it has been published. It's not published in a way that everybody knows about it, but at least if you want to find the law, it's there, but not anymore. There's a lot of secret law going on. And that's a very, very serious concern. You know, it's akin to the signing statements that the president says. He actually disregards law. He says that I take exception to this and I won't be doing such and such in a signing statement. And these are being used more and more.
What did the courts determine when the government said we can't tell you what the law is because it's secret?
Well, essentially the judge dismisses the case and the government wins. It's like the invoking the State Secrets Act, and it's time that we get some judges willing to stand up against this.
You know, Chris, the thing is that the whole idea of searching the American people when we get on the airplanes, this is all a matter of perception. If there was really a terrorist threat, as you've said many times before, they would have sealed our borders. We would have marshals on every plane. We don't. We have maybe 10% of the planes, if that many. And then, of course, we would have every pilot would be armed to protect the people. I mean, if there was really a terrorist threat, we would have had some major acts of terrorism over the last 7 or 8 years, and they haven't occurred. It's all a matter of how to convince the suckers that there's really a threat of terrorism, why we're going to search them, you know, when they get on the planes. And that way they'll know that there's really, you know, terrorists out here trying to take over our planes, whereas it really isn't true.
Well, you know, I have said for a long time that I think that they follow a general dictum of not inconvenience the majority of people. A lot of the time, less people really get irritated with government. This has been one of the major exceptions to that, where they have continued to harass the American traveling public. And I think it's because they, frankly, want to get Americans used to losing their freedom over travel, used to being restricted and herded as they travel on mass transportation, much as the Germans did during World War II, when it was show me your papers every time you had guards walking down the aisles of the train checking everybody's papers. And people,
you know, every time I go through one of those lines, and when, especially when they have quite a few people and you have to go up back and forth and back and forth, and they have the little chutes there for the people to go through, and I'm so reminded, you know, of what happens at a slaughterhouse. They herd the cows into the little narrow chutes, and then, of course, they get up to the end, and there's somebody there with a gun who shoots them in the head. And the American people used to go walking in the little chutes where they're told to. We're all obedient, because, after all, we have to do that to fight a terrorism and prevent Osama bin Laden from taking away our freedom.
Well, you know, this secret law is now getting a more negative press, and I'm glad to see it. Sean Gonzalez of Alternet gave a broad overview of some other aspects of the problem. He says, once upon a time, a team of federal attorneys went before the Supreme Court, only to discover that their entire case was based on an executive order that had been revoked and was moot. This true story, said, look it up, Panama Refining Company versus Ryan. They revoked an example of what legal scholars knows. What he was saying is that the executive order had been revoked in secret, and they, even the government attorneys, didn't know it had been revoked.
I mean, if this is a free society, why do we have all the secret laws?
Well, as I've made my point many times before, this abnormal view of secrecy is meant to cover government illegal actions. It's the only purpose, and that in itself is illegal. In other words, government is not allowed to use classification of documents to cover illegal acts. That in itself is an illegal act, and they're doing it all the time. Their only defense is to make sure that it never comes out what they're classifying. And so they don't even allow judges to see it, even when they have special clearances. They don't allow Congress to see it, because they're covering up illegal acts. You know, back in the 30s and 40s, there was a lot of legislation that was aimed at disseminating vital government information amid the complexity of state administrative law and shoddy record keeping. And that's one of the reasons why the FBI keeps so many records. And they even keep records of illegal acts, incredibly. And that's why it's, even with the Freedom of Information Act, they won't tell you most of what you want to know. That's why so much of it is blacked out. And, oh, yes, some of it, you know, is to keep sensitive the names of agents who worked on a certain case, but most of the time, all illegal acts and people associated with illegal acts are blacked out. And most of the time as well, that they just refuse to hand over on basis of national security. And they won't even let a judge see why or make a judgment of. And somebody, a third party, always has to be able to scrutinize and make a judgment as to whether or not something is worthy of being classified or declassified, not the agency itself. And that's the problem right now, that the agency itself is being able to make these decisions rather than judges. Now, you know, I know that there's a certain percentage of judges that are part of the conspiracy, that they have, they actually get special pay either through casinos in Las Vegas or Atlantic City or into Canada. Other special banks where they can get up to $50,000 a month for being part of this illegal, dark, underground side of government. And those are the kinds of judges they shop these cases to make sure that they are, that the government position isn't exposed. In other cases where they go before judges who are not on their team, for example, in the, when this case of Jose Padilla was going to the Supreme Court, he had not been, he'd been held in confinement without charging him with a crime for over 3 years. They had no case against him on the dirty bomb issue. And what did they do? They His lawyers took it to the Supreme Court, and just before the Supreme Court was going to rule, the federal government capitulated, said, well, we will charge him with a crime, and it had nothing to do with being a dirty bomb, but they manufactured this whole story about his trip to Afghanistan, and it's very, very clear that he was induced to sign some papers, which didn't make much sense. And when you look at the entire case, it's just full of holes and very shoddy. That's why Judge Marsha Cook in Miami only sentenced him to 17 years instead of life in prison, as the government wanted, because she said, you know, this case is just very, very weak and didn't go along with the prosecutors.
Who wanted to send him to prison for life?
That's right. Well, moving to another subject on the torture in Guantanamo, the debate continues. And, you know, after last week posting the experiences of Al Haj, the Al Jazeera photographer who was kept in Guantanamo for nearly 6 years, he was finally released in very, very ill health and claiming that he had been tortured and abused severely, was actually hospitalized as proof of that. And I published that. It was I had quoted Linda Hurd, the British reporter, who's clearly on the left, and I got a negative reaction from some of my Marine Corps officer friends who claimed that, you know, we've served at Guantanamo, that we haven't seen any torture, and this is just outrageous that you would publish this propaganda. Don't you know that all of these detainees are trained as terrorists to claim torture and that they're just discrediting the United States? And I thought, well, you know, gee, now, these guys are people I know. These are people who, you know, aren't part of the conspiracy, but they could be, you know, could they not see these things if they're there? And one of them, who claims to have been very high up in the chain of command in Guantanamo, said that I would have seen it. I would have seen it if it had happened. And while I tend to want to believe them, the evidence continues to surface, Dr. Stan, from former detainees as well as government inspectors, and now even FBI agents say there was abuse and severe interrogations going on at Gitmo, as we call it in the Marine Corps, the abbreviation acronym for Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. But clearly, what's very, very disturbing is this new 370-page report from the Inspector General who went into the FBI and inquired of them because there had been many whistleblowers coming out of the FBI saying there's severe abuse and harsh interrogation going on in Guantanamo, and so that initiated, as part of the Whistleblower Protection Program, an Inspector General to interview these people. He interviewed 450 FBI agents who had been assigned to Guantanamo at one time or another during the past, I think, 4 or 5 years. Nearly half of them witnessed hearing about or seeing rough or aggressive treatment of detainees, primarily by military investigators. Now, this runs in stark contrast to what my former Marine Corps buddies are telling me that is not going on at Guantanamo Bay. Now, I had noted in one of the letters, one of the emails from Marine officer, the one who claimed to be in higher up position, his language that he used about detainees were very, very aggressive and very, very dismissive. He called them miscreants in his email. He called them dudes, these dudes, this and that. This does not speak, this is not a person that I knew personally. This is one who, a person of my vintage, Vietnam era Marine officer, had given me his name and his email as an example of good eyewitness accounts defending the fact that we had not been torturing. But I did not find his language careful or fair. It was a macho-type, typical military view of them against us. And I'm finding it interesting that if 450 FBI agents were there and only half of them reported or even heard about Ruffer, that means there was a concerted effort to disguise this problem, to hide these acts. And so it is very possible that Marine Corps officers there, even high in position, may be kept from seeing these things. But clearly it's there's a great deal of evidence. I'll take the evidence now of 250 FBI agents against the one Marine Corps officer claims it doesn't occur. Doesn't wash up. It doesn't stack up. I know from the military, my own military experience, It's a great deal of pressure to maintain your career and save the Marine Corps from embarrassment.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Dream Network.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
If you have a yard or maybe a field, you may plan on digging in it. Perhaps you want to put in a swimming pool, add a super awesome barbecue pit, or bury a comically large chest of pirate booty.
Yarr.
But before you dig, you should know that there are buried pipelines in lots of places. Maybe even under your own little patch of St. Augustine. If you dig and hit one of these pipelines, it could cause a leak. And that could cause serious problems.
Sorry.
So before you find buried pipelines with a shovel or a backhoe, find them with a phone. Call 811 before you dig to have any buried lines located and marked at no charge. Remember, before you dig for any reason, be it construction, a sprinkler system, or tunneling your way to sweet, sweet freedom, call 811 first. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
Stop living with pain. Discover MagnetiCare Cell Activating Liquid Complex and RX Magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare Liquid Complex, cream, or RX Magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this morning is, of course, Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get a copy of the World Affairs Brief, and perhaps even want to subscribe to it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is my weekly news analysis service where I try to add in the key pieces of information that the media, the established media, purposely withholds from the American public. If they knew certain things, it would change their opinions dramatically about many things. And I try to give understanding to people about these issues. My World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. First thing you're listeners will see if they go to the website is a summary of the current edition of the World Affairs Brief, which is going to change today after I'm through with this interview. New one will go up. And they can order a one-time free sample copy of the World Affairs Brief if they'd like to see if it's something that they would consider subscribing to. There is a very modest subscription fee. It's a very good deal relative to this kind of in-depth newsletter, which they get every Friday to their email box. And there's a lot of free things on the website as well. I do a lot of work on trying to uncover what government has tried to cover up, whether it's in various assassinations that have been carried forth against American presidents or people such as Martin Luther King, to cover-ups of government involvement in the various terrorist attacks such as Oklahoma City bombing or 9/11. And I give the detailed evidence, and I give more than I give analysis of what's going on. It's my analysis which is unique on the Internet. I also have a listing of the books that I've written. I have for 30 years been a high security designer of retreats and secure homes and self-sufficient homes, because I believe that it's prudent for us to prepare for the takedown of our liberty, even as we fight to try to preserve it.
Okay, fine. Well, you know, you were saying earlier, you know, about the Marine officer who wrote to you and said this just didn't happen. You know, one of the hardest things for me to accept, although I know it's true, is when, you know, somebody in a very responsible position, a high military officer, lies to me. I mean, a man you'd expect would have integrity, and yet I know he's telling me something, and it just isn't true. And unfortunately, there are people out there who believe the end justifies the means, that you've got to use deceit and treachery. After all, we're at war with terrorism. We have to go to any ends to defeat it. And unfortunately, some people who should be, you know, you expect them to tell the truth, sometimes just do not. It's not that they don't know. They don't want you to know, and they provide you with all sorts of information that just isn't true. And that's why, to survive in what you do and what I do, we've got to be discerning.
Well, it's true, very, very true. And there's a wide variety of people in the military, and, you know, the rather coarse and inconsiderate language that he used in his email, you know, indicates that he had this mentality of them against us, and that these are just scum people, and, you know, there's no respect for human life in some of those. I remember when I went through military training in the military, the Marine Corps would give us these pictures of these Vietnams and in Vietnam of dead Pathet Lao and other things, and called them gooks and all kinds of bad names. And he says, this is the object of your existence, the Marine officer, to kill gooks, you know. And I protested. I said, that is not, you know, my purpose as a Marine officer. My purpose is to defend liberty for good people. It's not to kill people and demean them. These people are relatively innocent. It's the leaders, you know, that are really evil. And instructor didn't look very kindly upon my criticizing him. That was typical of my career in the Marine Corps. You know, I just didn't go along with what everyone else was accepting, and that's why I eventually left and saw that there's no place. They certainly wanted people to do what they've been doing for, you know, 50 years, and they didn't want people to change the system. So I'm not that kind of person, so I left. In any case, there were many good times, too, and there was a lot of good things to say about the military, but I'm one who is not knee-jerk patriotic, because I also knew that there were some really corrupt people in the military as well as some good people, and so I'm not going to give a blanket approval to the troops. There's some that are just a little bit above the drug addicts in the streets, and there's others that are very, very wonderful people, and I'll reserve my judgment for the individuals as they as I have to deal with them. But I'm convinced when I read such as the article in New York Times by Eric Lichbau and Scott Shane, they said in 2002, as evidence of prisoner mistreatment at Guantanamo Bay began to mount, the FBI agents at the base created a war crimes file, Dr. Stan, to document accusations against American military personnel, but were eventually ordered by higher-ups at FBI to close this file down. Now, that's in the report, the 437-page report by the Justice Department Inspector General. It provides the fullest account to date of the internal dissent and confusion. Well, it's not confusion, really, within the Bush administration over the use of harsh interrogation. It is the at-odds positions between FBI agents and Marine Corps people at Guantanamo Bay. They even detailed in there that the Americans collaborated with visiting Chinese communist officers at Guantanamo, where they agreed to disrupt the sleep of the Chinese Muslims who were being held there, waking them every 15 minutes the night before their interviews with the Chinese so that they would be as weary as possible and softened up, so to speak, for the kind of interrogation that the U.S. Marines were allowing Chinese communists to do. I mean, this is just unconscionable.
It is.
No wonder that FBI agents, I mean, there are some good FBI agents. These aren't all dark side agents. There were 451 of them detailed. You don't have that many dark side agents to waste their time over at Guantanamo. They have to put a lot of good agents in, and they see things. They become whistleblowers.
Yeah, but unfortunately, very, very few people hear what they really have to say, and their careers are ruined, their lives are ruined for doing the right thing. That is a terrible commentary on America today.
That's right. And especially when these FBI agents say that their concerns fell on deaf ears. Officials at the senior levels at the FBI, the Justice Department, the Department of Defense, and NSA, or National Security Council, were all made aware of the FBI agents' complaints. But nothing was done as the results. Now, this is very typical of whistleblowers' experiences and indicates that the evil policies are emanating from the top. They're not the product of a few rogue individuals at the lower levels because somebody's protecting them. And the report quotes passionate objections from FBI officials who grew increasingly concerned about the practices of intimidating inmates with snarling dogs, parading them nude in front of female soldiers. This was at Guantanamo. Short shackling them to the floor for many hours in extreme heat or cold. Such tactics, said one FBI agent in an email message to supervisors in 2002, might violate U.S. law banning torture.
Well, I'm still waiting for the outcry from our American ministers about this sort of thing. You would think they would be the ones who'd be out trying to raise this issue, but most of our ministers have far more fear of government than they do of God. We'll be right back.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling. Or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
More than 31 million Americans have some type of hearing problem. Only 1 in 5 will seek help. Do you frequently misunderstand conversations? Do you often ask people to repeat what they're saying? Do your ears ring? If you're the one who's always turning up the volume on the TV or the radio, maybe it's time to get a hearing evaluation by a professional, certified, caring audiologist. Call Michelle at the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. That's the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688.
Andrea here again with Radian Clinic. I've got great news for you. With our buy one, get one free laser package sale, now is the time to get on the path to vibrant, smooth skin. Got wrinkles, sun damage, age spots, or other skin problems? We can help. At Radian Clinic, we use the latest and best in laser technology to remedy just about any skin issues. Don't miss out on our buy one, get one free laser package sale. For all our exciting specials, visit us at RadianClinicColorado.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Go right ahead, Joel. This is the last segment.
Yes. In any case, let me move on to another topic here. The state of Texas really thought that they were on a roll in this major action against the FLDS polygamous compound in Texas. Texas calling a polygamous sect an abusive environment was poised to tell its mothers this week that they would lose all of their children unless they actually rejected portions of their religion. Some lawyers believe this could mean women would never be able to return to the ranch and would have to choose between some of their beliefs and their children. Texas was even demanding, or at least the legislature was in the process of demanding the FLDS church pay for the raid, which illegally took away their children. And the amounts are astronomical. We're talking about $30 to $50 million they want to send a bill for these raids. You know, there was absolutely no need to have tanks and armored personnel carriers and all of the SWAT teams and other things there. It was almost like they were looking for another Waco confrontation. And to have those things not needed, and because the FLDS simply let them in with the search warrant, didn't protest, and then they took away all their children based upon no evidence whatsoever of any specific wrongdoing. In fact, the whole search warrant was tainted by the fact that it was done by an anonymous call that they've never been able to locate, and in fact is related to a black woman in Colorado who has made many bogus calls against the FLDS church before, and who is still free and not in prison for these types of things. But all of this arrogance on the part of Texas was stopped in its tracks Tuesday as the in a dramatic ruling, the Court of Appeals of Texas ruled in favor of 48 mothers of the FLDS religion and declared that Child Protective Services in Texas violated every portion of the Texas law in their mass roundup of these children. The court correctly zeroed in on the two major violations committed by these overzealous child protectors. One, they treated the entire community as one single household, and in other words, one mass judgment based upon religious beliefs of underage marriages being permitted, which is true, by the way. There were some violations, and they should have been prosecuted, but you can't treat, you know, hundreds of individual households, and many of them are not polygamous. I know several families that come out of these polygamous communities who have chosen not to live polygamy, don't agree with it, but the family ties are very, very strong there. The business ties, they've grown up with them. It can't easily be separate, and they choose to stay among their family even though they aren't polygamous. And their children were taken away, too. And the judges said this is absolutely wrong. There was no evidence of specific wrongdoing applied to any of these 48 women and their children, and therefore they issued a writ of mandamus that the court must vacate their order of custody of all of these children for these 48 women. Now, there are other families that are not part of this thing, but this provides a precedent which allows them to challenge their taking of their children away as well.
And they have somewhat 10 days now to act on this and release the children?
That's right. The trial court of Judge Barbara Walther, who seems like a Gestapo-type judge, she was the one who issued the actual warrant, and then she was the one who ran roughshod over all the objections of the other attorneys, and this is the judge that has been slapped down very soundly over this. Now she has 10 days in which to comply with this writ, or the appeals court will mandate directly the release of the children. Now, the state can appeal to the state Supreme Court, but the law is very clear on this matter, and the chances are very slim. This was a unanimous opinion of the three trial judges at the appeals level. And at least the Supreme Court of Texas is inclined to twist the law, as did the original judge, and overlook the specifics of the statute, which even claim that before children are removed from the home, the state has the obligation to prove that they have exhausted all other remedies, and there were no other remedies. They simply took this as the first remedy. And so state law had been clearly violated. What we were finding out is that is typical of Child Protective Services. They use what they call service plans to set up criteria for the parents to, quote, qualify to have their children back. In other words, children are held ransom to an externally applied set of criteria that often violate a parent's right, religious, or political freedom of thought. In this case, you know, this amounts to extortion. Basically, a parent should have be able to say it's incumbent, and the court should say it's incumbent upon state protective services to provide evidence, specific evidence of abuse. And as long as that evidence is valid, that the children can be taken away from the abusing parent. But the parent, you know, it should not be up to the parent then to prove themselves innocent anymore, because sometimes that's impossible. You know, how do you prove that you aren't a person that they claim here? In this case, you know, they want them actually to deny portions of their religion as part of a service plan. I don't know why they call it a service plan, to give these people, you know, a little hope of meeting these criteria. These were developed by, quote, culturally sensitive experts. That's a euphemism for credentialed psychologists who may or may not even believe in God, who set upon themselves some external criteria that a parent has to, hoops that a parent has to jump through. I'd shudder to think of what kind of sensitive plan that they'd have on me or you. You know, I'm a person who believes in good, solid discipline of children based upon fairness. But, you know, they would have positions that you have to disavow, that you'll ever physically discipline your children in order to get your children back. I mean, this is a violation of a person's right to handle children. There's many types of discipline that fall far short of abuse that are should be legal, but we have these so-called culturally sensitive experts who simply won't hear of it, and they have the godlike power that they claim to be able to tell you parents what they think is best for your children. So this is a great victory for family rights law, and I think that as in the Utah case where they shot John Singer for homeschooling his children and resisting the attempt of the state to take his children, the state of Texas has moved too far. There's been a groundswell of support, even though nobody likes polygamy, it's a groundswell of support because they went too far.
Well, we're out of time, Joel. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. All right, we'll be back in just a minute to wrap up the program here at the American Freedom Network.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get the Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Joel. If you can enjoy such a conversation, because, ladies and gentlemen, there is a move to establish a dictatorship in America. And whether you know it or not, we have a new neoconservative movement. You'll want to get certainly our May newsletter. We haven't. It'll be out in a month or so. But certainly the neoconservative movement is following the techniques and the philosophy of a man named Niccolo Machiavelli. In fact, if you read the writings of the people in the leadership of the neoconservative movement, why they openly embraced Machiavelli, who said that lies and deceit and cruelty are perfectly permissible. The end justifies the means, and good can come from cruelty and evil. And that is the philosophy of Machiavelli and Michael Ledeen, one of the chief architects of the neoconservative movement and spokesman for them, has written books on Machiavelli and, of course, how important it is to use those techniques to subdue the American people. If you have not yet heard my talk, it's on DVD, called The Planned Police State, and got the syllabus that goes with that. If you care about your freedom, you really need to get that and disseminate it. You can copy it. You can copy the syllabus. You can copy the DVD and get them out and let people understand. You can make up flyers based upon my newsletters and take them to the flea market. Take them to the local grocery stores. Stand out in front and pass them out. Let people understand we are moving towards a dictatorship. Do you really care about freedom? Do you understand what it would be to live without it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to lose our freedom in this country because there are evil and wicked people in positions of power in Washington, D.C. You should read my book or watch the talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. You should listen to the talk on the Forbidden Secret. That's the Forbidden Secret, and get the syllabus that goes with that. Understand that there are people with an entirely different worldview who hate God, who hate Christians, who hate Christianity and every aspect of it. And that's why they took God and prayer out of our schools. They knew what they were doing. And we cover that and the reason for it in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Your ministers aren't going to tell you this. The political leaders aren't going to tell you why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. But we tell you in the book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get this from other sources, the book Behind the Lodge Door by Paul Fisher, which we carry, the book Unholy Alliance by James Wardner, and we carry that book as well. You're not going to get the information and the truth from the controlled media. We hope that you'll listen to our programs. You'll support our effort. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The talk, Planned Police State. You need to get that. Brotherhood of Darkness, the book or the CD, and then The Forbidden Secret. And with that information, you will know more than most college professors, you know, who teach these things regularly, because until you understand the spiritual forces that are motivating everything that's going on today, nothing makes sense. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can see many of our DVDs there, absolutely free of charge, where you can actually listen to our programs 4 hours a day live, or recorded and or archived or MP3. Help us get the truth out. If you care about freedom, about your future, about your family. So until Monday at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Talk to the American Freedom Network, contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com. The American